You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN. Your home for K-State athletics. It's game time. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.
Troy, have you heard of Chip Gaines?
Oh, yes.
He and his wife, Joanna, are on one of those, what is it, HGTV or DIY
Yeah, they
shows.
Are. They used to essentially be on HGTV. They run their own now called Magnolia.
Yeah, I mean, they're known for, like, fixing up houses and stuff. But, man, this afternoon, Chip Gaines is making a mess of Kentucky fans.
Beautiful.
And I question is, like, is he the one actually tweeting? Is it more like a Wendy's situation where somebody on the Wendy's account, like, is basically in charge of roasting people?
Oh, no. That's Chip Gaines.
Man, Chip is getting after some Kentucky fans today, because if you don't know the story, so Coach Cal is leaving Kentucky to take the job at Arkansas. He's taking less money to get out of Mason got in here, so I did something right. All right. We'll get to Mason from Case Online here in just a moment. But so now the Kentucky job is open, and Scott Drew has become a popular candidate for the job, and it's a whole thing. I mean, there had been reports that Scott Drew was flying to Lexington. Meanwhile, Scott Drew tweets out a picture of him at a Mexican restaurant with a friend.
So beautiful. So perfect.
Then people started getting to, well, you know, in the corner is an old episode of Family Feud that wasn't scheduled to air in Waco today. This is probably the best social media content Waco, Texas has ever produced. But meanwhile, Kentucky fans starting calling restaurants.
Oh,
Tex-Mex places in Waco to try to find information or to even talk to Coach. And then there was a Kentucky Barstool account then tweeted that, and it said, it's a picture of Chip and Joanna Gaines that says, keep these two away from Scott Drew for the next 48 hours. That really got the ball rolling.
Beautiful.
Because Chip Gaines started to respond to responses and just tweets alone that had him involved in them. One of my favorite ones was, hey, Chip Gaines, it's UK basketball. We kind of get who we want when we want. Luckily, Drew is like third on our list. If he was first, he would already be in Lexington. And Chip Gaines just simply responded with, that's not what Dan Hurley told me.
Well played.
Dan Hurley.
Spectacular.
Was before Scott Drew is being rumored to go to Lexington. And, well, according to Dan Hurley, he doesn't want to get a divorce.
Yeah, put that one to bed real quick.
There was another one here. Basically, the response was, who the blank is Chip Gaines? Chip Gaines follows up with, do you kiss your mom with that mouth? Ask her who I am. She'll know. That person then went on to screenshot his phone with him texting his mom, and at first the mom didn't know. And then Chip Gaines follows up that tweet with, funny. She spelled my name right. It'll come to her.
It ended
up that she figured out, oh, I know Chip Gaines. I know his wife more.
Right.
She's really pretty. She does the Fixer Upper show. You know, maybe if Scott Drew does leave for Waco, Baylor will become a Fixer Upper. That was dumb.
Oh, but credit Chip for having a sense of humor about it all.
Guys, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. AEW Dynamite is tonight. That means we're going to really start to settle down on any WWE talk because I'm going to start not watching again. WrestleMania was great, but I'm back to AEW. From Charleston, West Virginia, and there's a lot happening. The TNT title is on the line. Dustin Rhodes against Samoa Joe is in action. The Young Bucks are going to show behind-the-scenes footage from All In and Wembley Stadium, that over 80,000 people in attendance that potentially may show a real-life fight between Jungle Boy Jack Perry and CM Punk. Also, I do want to pass along K-State baseball in action tonight. They'll have first pitch at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5:30 here on K-Man. The Cats taking on the Wichita State Shockers before the Cats travel down to Norman, Oklahoma to face the Sooners this weekend. But that also means it's kind of become a guessing game on who it's going to be from K-State Online now. DY, very busy guy. Mason Voth has been very accommodating to come on the show, and he once again joins us this week. Mason, who do you have tonight, Cats or Shockers?
Well, my heart says Cats. My hate for Wichita State says Cats. My belief in Pete Hughes might say Shockers.
Oh, so, damn.
This is a big game for him. Look, I've been very upfront and honest about this before. In the non-revenue sports, so if it's not men's basketball or football, women's basketball is a little bit different too. But most of the others, I'm just like everybody else. Like, I casually follow. I'm not locked into every game. If you're not beating the in-state teams that I dislike, then you're going to get a negative mark from me. So finish off the season sweep of Wichita State, get the job done, and then get back on track in conference play, start winning games, stop running into outs, and make everybody proud of this baseball team.
I can hear Elliot in the background laughing at your take that you just made. My argument is
she agrees with me. She thinks it's very funny, and she wonders why K-State baseball is their own worst enemy most of the time.
But the Cats beat the Shockers already this year. Comeback win, very situational hitting, coming up with some big hits.
Yeah, no, they did. That's great. But take care of business tonight. You should beat middle of the road American Athletic Conference schools and get back to winning series in the Big 12. Be about it.
Man, K-State projected to be a 2-seed right now in the NCAA tournament, and Mason's still criticizing. Right. Can't win with this guy. Speaking of Elliot, have you been pooped on in the last week?
No, not in the last week. We've been clean on that front, so we're off to a good start there. We restart the counter. It's been 7 days since she's, kind of ruined whatever I'm wearing that day. So here's to hoping that we continue that streak for a little bit longer.
Owen Burke has now arrived, and he would like to say something.
I just said I'm glad we got the update there. I know that's what the one that everybody's been waiting on since last Wednesday, Thursday. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, Poopgate.
Yeah, the Poopgate scandal. Yep, definitely a hot topic these days.
If he said anything, I could not hear what he said.
Oh, that's right. Because I'm running it over here. He appreciates the update. We were all wondering about Poopgate.
Okay. Yeah.
So. A couple of more things before we dig into the Cats here, basketball that is. I noticed on your bio you say you're a radio free agent. Is that like a play-by-play thing? Is that, hey, I'm up for doing interviews like this? Are you wanting to get back to doing more radio?
Oh yeah, I'm open to any and everything. In addition to what I do with KSO, like I very much miss doing a show every day and getting to like all that stuff and the play-by-play that comes with it, like very much would be interested in that. But options are open and I obviously have a good setup so I can be pretty particular about what I do, but I'm open to anything that comes my way there. So.
All right. Last question about just kind of random stuff here. The last time we talked, the Royals have not lost a game, and I think that's some sort of record. What's been your thought on the Royals lately?
Yeah, did we talk last Wednesday or Thursday?
It was Thursday.
Okay, yeah. I think it's good. I mean, they are starting to make me believe that they might be a decent team this season. Like, it's been fun to watch them, and they're doing things that good teams do. The bullpen has been better since we last talked. A lot of that comes down to Matt Cotrera about how to learn the lesson the hard way when he sent Will Smith back in there to close out a game last Friday. And after two batters, he's like, oh, crap, I better get this guy out of here. So I think they're in a good spot. It's just you're always kind of waiting for that other shoe to fall for them and when are things going to go wrong. But now you have the advantage on the Astros, get another game, and you'll win the series here over the next two. That's a good spot to be in. And honestly, my big thing has always been beat the bad teams, beat the ones you're supposed to get, and sweeping the White Sox in four. Like, sweeping four-game series is hard to do no matter who you're playing. So that was a major step in the right direction. Some people are probably like, oh, my gosh, the White Sox suck. They do, but I think that's a really big part about moving forward and becoming a better team.
Yeah, it's pretty much what the Royals are doing right now, beating a bad team. I don't know the story of the Astros. They're just not off to a solid start. Maybe Troy could tell us what the story is.
You've got a new manager in place there, kind of getting a feel since Dusty Baker retired. Tonight they'll throw a rookie.
Oh, really?
So we'll see if the Royals can make that six.
Who's on the hill for the Royals tonight?
It's Seth Lugo.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, starting pitching. You know, actually, let's get to this real quick, Troy, because yesterday it was a betting guarantee that Cole Reagans would be over on strikeouts at 6.5. Do you know how many he had last night?
No, I did not look.
He had 5.
He had a rough night last night. He gave up runs in each of the first two innings.
All right, Mason, let's talk about the day after we hung up the phone on Thursday, because it was a pretty dramatic day for us K-State fans, and it took a while to get the message we were looking for, and that was Jerome Tang was going to stick around with the video that was released Friday night. But it was a day of a lot of speculation and hearing a lot of rumors that Jerome Tang was maybe kind of thinking about possibly becoming the new head coach at Arkansas. So take me through your day and peak worriness. Where were you at when that worriness was peaked?
The day got going, and I think it started to kind of come out that, hey, like, Tang is option number two here, it would appear, behind Chris Beard. So Drew and I did a show probably 10:30 in the morning on Friday, and we still weren't, like, overly concerned about it, and basically we just went with the mindset of, look, I don't think this gets past Beard. It doesn't make sense that it would. Like, why would you stay at Ole Miss over Arkansas and all that? And a little bit later, probably an hour and a half later, I went to go get lunch with my wife, and somebody had tweeted at me, and they're like, okay, you know, where would you put this at? I said 60% he stays, 40% he goes. And that was just because, like, I figured he would stay, but anything can happen in coaching searches. And with the Beard thing, it felt like, okay, if Beard says no, then it's tangible that he leaves. So I still wasn't freaking out about it. And then probably about 30 minutes to an hour later, Chris Beard pops off his tweet that, hey, I'm staying at Ole Miss. And that's when it turns into, okay, this is about to get real. So I would probably say it was 2:00 in the afternoon was probably the most nerve-wracking it probably was. But you just didn't really know how it was going to play out. So I kind of went through it. We didn't do a whole lot other than just kind of waiting and seeing and what information ended up being concrete. And then probably about 5:00 in the evening is when I got a couple of messages that made me think, okay, he's going to stay. I did have one person text me and say, I've got a buddy that says that Tang is gone, and he was right about this and this about different things with, like, the Arkansas coaching search and whatever. And I said, yeah, we'll see. I'm not, like, gonna say that's for certain yet. And then once we got the word on Tang, I texted him back and I just said 2 out of 3 ain't bad. So I think it was a pretty stressful day for everybody, but Gene Taylor and a lot of others connected to the K-State community certainly came through in keeping Jerome Tang in Manhattan.
Did you take offense to a lot of Arkansas fans going to social media message boards and not wanting Jerome Tang to be their next head coach?
No, I think that there's a certain, most people, this is my generalization and how I would stereotype Arkansas fans. There's a lot of them that I've encountered or seen that their opinion would differ much differently from mine. And I'm not very interested in being on board with how they live life and see things. So it doesn't offend me one bit at all. Different strokes for different folks. And I think that the way that they go about things, Jerome Tang probably wasn't the right coach for them down there. Like I just don't think it would have worked out. I think Jerome Tang is, he's not for everybody. That's for certain. And I think at Arkansas, there wouldn't have been as many people that would have been able to say, okay, his personality isn't for me, but he's a great coach, so we'll embrace that. I think they would have been bothered by the personality side, and so I think it was just probably best for him that it ended the way that it did, because I don't think that they would have been the greatest to him. I think, honestly, the way that we – like, I truly appreciate how Jerome Tang has coached K-State and what he's done for the school, but, like, there is an element that would suggest that him and his staff would not handle Arkansas's fan base very well based on they handled even – possibly hiring him after they had been passed up by Chris Beard.
Mason Voth from KSN Online is our guest. So Jerome Tang, though, is going to stay here. And, you know, there's a number of things that have been said as to why he has chosen to stick around. Obviously, Gene Taylor did what he needed to do, pulled some strings, made some plays, and was able to keep Jerome Tang around staff, potentially getting some more money along with Jerome Tang. I don't think necessarily that was, you know, money for him. I don't think was necessarily any sort of reason why he would want to leave or try to make a power play here. Staff wants to stick around. Again, there's a number of things that could definitely have played into him coming back to K-State. Maybe separation of his program and Richard Linton might be a part of that as well. But the question out of that, though, is he did still, in a way, entertain the idea of chatting with Arkansas and seeing what they had to say. Will that stick into the back of your mind moving forward as Jerome Tang's tenure continues? For good reasons or for bad reasons, will that stay in the back of your mind that he did actually entertain the idea?
I thought that it might, but at the end of the day, because he didn't take the job, that now should be a reset to a lot of K-State fans. Okay, number one, he chose to stay at K-State because as I tried to explain to people, like, yeah, maybe he got a bump in pay and all these other things, the boxes were checked. But at the end of the day, if Jerome Tang didn't believe that he could win a national championship at K-State and thought he could at Arkansas, he would have left. No matter how much more money K-State would have given him, no matter how much more they would have said that they could rally together in NIL donations, he would have left for that job. So he chose K-State. And then what it should also do for you is now you can start to build a list in your head where, yes, K-State and Jerome Tang together, they are not bulletproof from some other program coming in and taking Jerome Tang, it would appear. But it is going to take a pretty high caliber program to do that. And if Jerome Tang says no to Arkansas to stay at K-State, it's a pretty short list of schools that I think he would say yes to leave Manhattan for.
Again, Mason Voth from KSN Online is our guest. Yeah, I agree. I certainly agree with what you had to say there. And if it does stay in my mind, it's really kind of a good thing. I take it as a compliment that Power 2 programs want your coach. He still turned down a Power 2 program. And that will actually kind of transition us into my next question. But I'll wait till after the break because it's a part of the story and the topic that we really haven't discussed yet on the show. And that is just where this takes the value of K-State basketball, not just Jerome Tang, but the whole program moving forward. We're talking NIL. We're talking about respect across college basketball. We'll discuss that with Mason Voth when we come back.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com.
That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're back in the game. Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, and Owen Burke. It is Wednesday, and Mason Voth from KC Online joins us via the Google's Zoom. Google Meet. Using it for the first time. Figured it out. Starting to fall behind on technology. Mason, are you keeping up with technology these days?
Technology, I think that I am. I don't know that it's changed too terribly much over the last 5 years. Maybe that means that I have fallen behind. Maybe that's ignorant of me to think that it hasn't changed as much. But technology, I'm fine. Certainly, like trends and other things out there, pop culture-wise, I think I've started already my descent to not knowing things. So I'm getting out of the loop on that, which is fine. Never really cared to be in the loop. I just was by, you know, being around more people my age. But now I basically just hang out with my wife and a baby. So I don't really branch out and learn new things.
I'm sure you certainly, when it comes to pop culture, keeping up with like WrestleMania and stuff. I mean, the WWE actually did.
I saw 15 seconds of WrestleMania. I went to Peacock and it just was right there.
Oh, yeah.
Flashed on. And then I was like, all right, that's enough for me. I think it had something to do with Roman Reigns. I don't know.
Probably.
But yeah, I was like, eh. I mean, I thought about watching it for you, but I'm strictly a Royal Rumble guy. So, and I know that I missed that.
The Royal Rumble is my favorite match.
Did my guy Shane, was he out there? Did he do anything at WrestleMania?
So last year's WrestleMania, he was in a match with The Miz. And it's kind of like an impromptu thing. And he was doing like a leapfrog thing. He was like jumping over The Miz while he was running. And he came down and he tore his quad. So he's been out of action for a year. So he's on the shelf for he could come back now, but he's on the shelf.
I hope he comes back bigger and better than ever. That's my guy right there.
Well, he's getting up there now. So I don't know if there is a coming back for Shane McMahon.
Are you kidding me? I've seen a bunch of old guys that they keep bringing back. Well, they're trying to compete with your AEW boys.
Yeah, but they still got it. Shane McMahon's never been a wrestler. He's just been a stunt devil. He just does these crazy stunts.
I was gonna say, Shane McMahon kind of strikes me to be like, you know when Buzz Lightyear first shows up on the scene and he's talking about flying and everything and Woody says, no, you're just falling with style? That seems to be Shane McMahon's wrestling. Really just his alley is, hey, I'm just going to take hard falls and jump all over the place, man. Sacrifice my body with zero skill, which I respect.
Yeah, he's flying with no wings. He dramatically falls. That's pretty much what Shane McMahon is. That, and he's Vince McMahon's dad. Maybe that's another reason he's trying to stay away for a little while. Although Stephanie came back. Another thought about technology. I'm just kind of really getting sidetracked here. But a thought just popped in my head. So I know you're going to definitely get the new NCAA football game. There's no doubt about that. But let's pretend like you can't download the game. And the only way you can get it, like if you want it the earliest, is that you got to stand in line and do a midnight release. Would you do that for that game?
Yes, I would.
All right.
Get a babysitter for the night?
It might be a little bit tougher now given the stage of life that I'm in, but I would still absolutely try. Or I would show up to, you know, like a store that's open 24 hours, like a Walmart or something, and I would just go in there probably a little early and be sniffing around and be like, hey, I know you got it and you just want to give it to me. Because one of my friends and I, we did that when MLB The Show came out like 2017, I guess, so my freshman year of college. We just went down and we were like, you know, it's midnight on the East Coast, so you think you could just give us the game? And the guy went back there and found it and handed it off to us.
The Show is a great game.
It's an awesome game.
I like it better than Madden.
And people complain, yep. They're, you know, because my big gripe and what everybody says is like, oh, you know, NBA 2K is always the same. Everybody then goes, well, the show hasn't changed. The show doesn't need to change, though. Like, the show is in a perfect form. The only people that I see complaining about MLB The Show are people that I have an inkling to guess don't actually understand the game of baseball very well. And they complain like, what am I supposed to do? I, you know, perfect timing, all this. Like, dude, if you perfectly time one off the end of your bat, it's still going to end up caught by somebody. Like, I have no issues with MLB The Show. It is a fantastic game.
I mean, I'm perfection when it comes to at-bats. And, half of the time, the other fly balls are getting caught.
I cannot hit in that game worth a lick. I'm all about the pitching there.
Yeah, well, the timing of the the batting and the ball where when it arrives and all that is definitely there's a learning curve to it. Okay, couple of quick questions. You're mentioning trending earlier. You mentioned the word trending. Tell me where you think K-State basketball is now trending and what direction with, you know, obviously NIL has been documented by Wildcat NIL. They're getting more members, but also how you feel about the transfer portal, where K-State can go with that now that Jerome Tang is going to stick around.
I think, honestly, I think that K-State probably gets a little bit of a bump from the Jerome Tang Arkansas thing and then him staying. Like, it feels like it added more juice. And I'm not just talking financially, because I think probably a large part of him sticking around was, I'm sure there through some back channels were some commitments to, hey, we're going to put more into NIL for you and help deliver. I just think, like, it elevated even more the public profile that K-State has. And it's like, man, Jerome Tang's turning down Arkansas. He's going to stay at K-State. And then you have that combined with the money and obviously the personality that Jerome Tang has, where guys really like him and want to play for him. I think it pushes them up. And they're certainly not done. Like, Doug McDaniel was a great start. And I think that there are some other guys that right now would be in, like, the top 20 of the portal rankings that I think K-State is still going to be very much in on and probably going to give themselves – a real chance. And it's also, I don't know if we talked about this last week or I talked about it with Drew or DY, but this is one of those things where K-State, it feels like they're in the stage this offseason where they can kind of be picky about who they go and get in the portal, which really wasn't the case last year. I mean, if you think back, it was almost like every guy that we heard them connected to or was going to have maybe visit, it felt like do or die, you got to get him. And we know that they missed out on Aaron Estrada and Max Asmus, and that hurt. And so then, like, you thought, oh, man, if Tyler Perry doesn't come here, what are they going to do? Fortunately, you got Tyler Perry. And then Arthur Kaluma, it felt like this massive get. But I think there are a lot of other places around college basketball that if they got Arthur Kaluma, they'd be like, okay, that's a pretty nice, like, additional piece. But, like, what's next? K-State last year basically had to settle and say, like, this is the best it's getting, is getting Arthur Kaluma. I don't think they're in that position this year. I don't know that overall production you get better than Doug McDaniel, but in terms of what people think nationally and how some of these rankings have stacked out, I would venture to say that Doug McDaniel does not end up being the highest rated transfer that K-State lands.
Is Scott Drew going to end up being the coach of Kentucky?
I do not know on that one. That seems like a great mystery. Like, the case can be made either way. Certainly, they're going to throw a lot of money at him.
Yep.
It would be tough for a guy like that where, I mean, his dad is a coaching legend in college basketball, so there's an appreciation for the game itself and the history. Like, be tough to turn down Kentucky. That is probably, I mean, in my eyes, no doubt a top three job in the country, maybe one of the top two. But I also think there would be legitimate pull. Like, he's been at Baylor for over 20 years. He can be a king in Waco, and he's going to have a long, long leash that, like, you know, he can get lazy if he wants to get lazy, or things can kind of slide back and it's not going to make a big difference. Whereas if he goes to Kentucky, what Scott Drew's done the last 3 years is basically the same thing that just got John Calipari fired. Now, it hasn't been as nationally embarrassing as what Cal has done, but, you know, they made the Sweet 16 this year but lost to Clemson, and then the last 2 years they had early exits, and most of Scott Drew's NCAA tournament career outside of the year that they won the national championship has been a lot of NCAA tournament disappointments. So he is kind of in ways similar to Calipari. Like, you know, if I was really into this and I was on the Kentucky or the Baylor side, I'd probably dig in deep and compare, you know, go back the last 15 years. So that would include Cal's national championship at Kentucky. So you can go and kind of have them side by side and be like, yep, they each have a national title, but both of them have failed to get to the second weekend this amount of times. They've lost to higher seeds this amount of times. Like, I think there's a real possibility there where Kentucky should maybe think harder about it. And that would probably scare Scott Drew to say, man, I could go in there, think I do my best during the regular season, but fail for 3 or 4 years in the NCAA tournament, and I'm out of a job. And the way Baylor's set up right now, Scott Drew has made Baylor a really good job. And I talk about this a lot, is these coaches have to go into a job, and some of them can go and make it a job that isn't worth leaving or make it the best possible job than what it was when they took it. Like, you think about what Chris Klieman has done. Like, he's made K-State a good enough football program to where he doesn't feel like he needs to leave K-State. He's got the right setup. He thinks he can accomplish a lot of the goals that he has at K-State. There's no reason for him to leave, like if Nebraska was open or, you know, if some of these other places. I would venture to say, like, the same thing. Like, it feels like Lance Leipold is kind of doing that at KU as well. Now, he plays the game a little bit harder than Chris Klieman, it would appear, to get some raises and whatever else. And I'm not sold he's there forever. But for right now, it's going to take a pretty significant job to get him yanked away. And I think Scott Drew's made Baylor a better job. So if he goes to Kentucky and they turn on him after 3 or 4 seasons, there's a good chance that Baylor's gone out and put a guy in his place that is still going to be there and keep Baylor rolling. Now Scott Drew's, you know, on the outside looking in and a little sad that he gave up what he had going for him in Waco. So I don't think it's a done deal that if the job is truly offered to Scott Drew, that he takes it and that thing opens up for everybody to speculate. Is it McCaslin? Is it Tang? Who's it going to be at Baylor next?
I look at this situation and I'm just struck by a lot of established coaches are probably looking at Kentucky right now and what's played out and say, do I really want that headache?
Yeah, I think that's totally on the nail of what's going on here. Like, why would you want to mess with that? And it's a job where most of the coaches that have gone through there have had success. Like, you go and look, okay, it's kind of like LSU football where Brian Kelly ditching Notre Dame for LSU was a no-brainer. Like, he understood, okay, the last 3 head coaches that they've had there have won a national championship. I think I'm a pretty good coach. I'm going to get the talent. I'm going to have the backing. Like, I can do this there. And Kentucky, you should think the same thing. Calipari was able to do it. Patino was able to do it. Tubby Smith, like, all these guys were able to come in there, unless you're Billy Gillespie, whatever. But most of these guys go in there and you have success. Like, it's a job that you can't fail at. It's essentially like what I would say KU in North Carolina kind of is. You can't fail at those jobs. You can be, you know, mediocre for what they want and that'll get you fired. And that's what you have to be mindful of. But the fan bases also play a part in this. Like, we know how they can be. And if a coach on the outside goes, man, that's what the angry mob wanted Calipari gone for. And they're not going to give as much leash to a newcomer because Cal's been there for, what, 15 years now? And he brought in a bunch of all-time Kentucky guys, like early on there with Wall and Cousins and Bledsoe. Like, people aren't going to forget that team. They have ties to that. He won a national championship with Anthony Davis. Like, they at least were bonded in some way with Calipari, even if they didn't want to act like they were. A newcomer would come in, and if he doesn't have success immediately, you're looking 3 years from now and probably having the angry mob on you and trying to get you out of Lexington.
And maybe the football comparison is Alabama, where to take that Alabama job, yeah, you don't want to be the one taking it after Nick Saban. You want the guy after Nick Saban. You want to take it after that guy. And even though Coach Cal hasn't been that great in the last 3 years, that is still a job that has the highest of expectations year after year. But Mason, we got to run. Always great to catch up. Watch for the poop, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. I'll do my best.
Mason Voth from KSN Online joins us here on The Game. Again, thank you for his time. And with that, I actually bounce, but we're taking you until 5:30. That's when pregame starts for K-State baseball as they host the Wichita State Shockers at Toyton Family Stadium. And Troy and Owen will take you the rest of the way. Some Royals talk coming up next on The Game. Go Cats.
I'm almost ready to forgive Owen for the fact that his team has a pair of walk-off wins against the Royals. Granted, the Royals didn't walk it off last night against the Orioles, but they did walk it off.
Salvi rips it, left center field, down into the gap, that's a base hit, Hampson takes off for third, he rounds the bag, the Astros don't even bother to pick it up, Hampson scores standing, the Royals win the game, El Capitan comes through in the clutch, he delivers a game-winning hit in the bottom of the 10th, and the Royals beat the Astros 4-3.
That would be 5 straight for the Royals. I will take that.
Yeah, 100%. That's a great call, too. It's a great call. Great setup by you there. That was fantastic.
Thank you. I mean, honestly, I'm still bitter that the Royals got walked off by your Orioles, but...
You know, I want to sit here and feel some type of way about it, but we didn't deserve game 2. You can't pin that one on us. I don't know why we're pinch running. You're like your third best hitter in the 6th inning for a guy that's going to come in and make 2 errors on defense. You handed us 2. 3, I can see where the feelings are coming from, but you're going to have to talk to your own team because game two was not us. We did not play well enough to win that one.
And Mason nailed it exactly in what it was, and that is Will Smith out of the bullpen has I made the reference yesterday to Jamie Moyer, essentially, is what Will Smith is becoming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, closers are a hot commodity. It's very hard to get a high-end one, and when you aren't going to use them a ton, it's hard to get one to stick around or justify paying for one. And this team is a lot better than what they have been in the last couple of years, and I think they're going to continue to get better, but it's also one of those things where closers, I mean, to me, like true closers, there is 10, 15 in the game. I think half the league maybe has a really good one, a top-end one. So hopefully they can find somebody in the system that could come in and fill that role. That's usually the easiest way to fill it. If not, getting active in the trade market and trying to bring somebody in. But the bullpen needs some work, but I think they're farther than a closer away at this point.
That bullpen is going to be better. Right now there is some heat in the minors that just isn't ready yet or is coming back from arm injuries, different things that are keeping that from being potential for the bullpen for right now. Patience.
Yeah, guys, that's the thing. That's the one thing I've learned about baseball in my short 2-year fandom in the sport is things do not happen fast. You know, I wanted Jackson Holliday up for opening day this year. I'm glad I didn't have to wait any longer than tonight, but...
It's the Bobby Witt effort that the Royals made 2 years ago.
110%.
Honestly, come out of camp, everybody's crying for Bobby Witt Jr. to come out of camp with the team. It didn't happen, but it didn't take too long.
No, it didn't take, and we're, I think, 2 weeks into the AAA season, and here comes Jackson Holliday up the pipe. So,
oh, my. That kid's got such a natural swing, it's unbelievable.
He does. I've struggled to not get lost in the fandom when it comes to Jackson Holliday. Because obviously it's very easy. An Orioles fan, I'm like, this kid is something else. But like, there are not many swings that are as smooth as Ken Griffey's. And I'm not going to put his in the conversation, but it is fluid. And I don't think enough people talk about it.
Someone actually dug up a Buster Olney tweet from a decade ago.
Oh, goodness.
Already praising Jackson Holliday's swing.
That's actually insane. That's nuts. He was 10 at the time. He's 20 for his debut.
It's the same feeling I get when seeing that Sophia Smith just scored 2 goals last night for the U.S. Women's National Team.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember her as the high school kid tagging along to UNC football practices because her sister was dating one of the football players.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kid.
Insane how these things work, especially when you get older and you start to see all these things.
Yes.
I'm still getting used to, you know, talking about the NFL draft coming up, and I'm realizing that all these prospects are younger than me now. That's a new feeling for me, you know. I haven't experienced that one.
Hi. Welcome.
Yeah, right. I've been on that train there for a while.
We have Tylenol and canes. That's been a joke for a long time about that. So here's the deal. The Royals riding that 5-game winning streak, And tonight they get an opportunity to potentially tee off against a rookie pitcher while sending themselves Seth Lugo out to the mound. Yes, Mitch was giving it to me a little at the start of the show over the fact that I guaranteed over 6.5 strikeouts last night. Wouldn't you know that Cole Reagans had his worst outing of the season to date last night?
That's how sports betting is.
And guess what? He didn't suffer the loss, but he also only gave up 3 runs when it's all said and done. And it's his worst outing of the season to date.
Yeah, when you can give up 3 runs to the Astros on any given day, and you pitch more than 5 or 6 innings, you've had a pretty solid day yourself. Whether new manager or whatnot, whether they've got a rookie in the outfield, doesn't matter. You can hold a lineup that consists of the talent that they have with Yordan and Altuve and all these guys. 3 runs, I'm feeling pretty good about myself as my starter's coming off the field.
And he still struck out 5.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
I mean, honestly, he went 5, struck out 5, gave up 3 runs, but the Royals were never out of it. And that, I think, is the biggest point to make about where this team sits right now, and that is that they are not out of it. Yes, they've only gotten a couple of comeback wins, per se comeback wins, but they're playing even baseball right now, and better, and I'm going to take that.
Improvement is improvement for Kansas City fans. I think that's where we need to be at, is like, this is not 2015, it's not 16, it's not 17, like, there is a new floor that you have to build from. There's a foundation that you're setting. You cannot expect this team to just come out and win all these games out of nowhere. There has to be a growth process.
And just to know, everybody else in the division cut salary.
Yep.
And we're back with a final thought for this hour on the game in a moment. Something that just moved across my Twitter account, and they can't take my money fast enough, other than getting myself to this event. 2 nights at First Avenue. The Revolution.
Oh?
To recognize the 40th anniversary of Purple Rain.
Wow.
This summer.
Wow.
I'm sitting here going,
Vacation request.
Yeah, unfortunately, the month of May wipes me out. That's going to be another discussion for another time.
Yeah, we got some stuff coming up.
Yeah, we've got some stuff coming up. Yeah, I won't make it to First Avenue to celebrate, doggone it.
That's unfortunate.
But, I mean, just that thought. Oh, what a night that's going to be.
I can't even imagine.
And let's throw in a little Morris Day in the time and have us a party, right?
Nothing better.
Coach Cal and the Dominoes. What's left after the move to Arkansas? And what does it mean for college basketball? We'll dig into that after the top of the hour on the game.
Yeah, I got the wrestling bet in after Mitch left again today, so hopefully he's got the show on over at the stadium so he can enjoy Aleister Black's theme song with me.
Troy and Owen taking you to the bottom of the hour. We've got K-State baseball coming up at 5:30. The Wildcats getting set to match up with Wichita State this evening just after 6:05. Before we dig into the morass that is the Kentucky basketball opening and Scott Drew potentially going there and all of the things that are, you know, taking place. This just in, arrest warrant has been issued for Chiefs receiver Rashee Rice in that Dallas area racing incident. However, of the charges that are on file related to this arrest warrant, none of them have to do with street racing per se. No charges related to the racing of the vehicles. However, 1 count of aggravated assault, 1 of collision involving serious bodily injury, 6 counts of collision involving injury.
Is that it? Is that all the ones?
That's it. That's it. 8 counts that are currently in place against him. And that will continue to develop.
Yeah, that feels better than I thought it was going to be. You know,
I think the key here is that everybody has been patient in how this has developed, and the investigation has been extensive.
Mm-hmm.
And Rashee Rice has, as we've learned from his attorney specifically, been fully cognizant of what's going on and has been cooperative, at least to this point. But it's still an awful look.
It is. It's a horrible look. And I'm trying to sit here and think if I just have heard a lot of false reports about this, or maybe some, because I thought that there was some illegal contraband that was in the car, maybe a gun or two, and
that those are purely rumor.
Okay,
purely
cool.
Rumor.
I'm okay for that, and I'm happy for that for Chiefs fans that was a rumor, because again, those 2 weeks, that's the thing about patient investigations. It's always better in the long run. It's a hairy 2 weeks because I'm hearing things left and right, and I have no idea what's real and what's not at this point.
One of the banes of social media, and yet even if it wasn't social media, it would still make the rounds somehow, some way. Because every time that there's not clarity on a situation, that just sets loose the conspiracy thinking or the thought that something's being covered up. Or he had to have had in the car.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, and social media just amplifies it in this day and age versus what it used to be. But it would still be a situation where someone somewhere would have gone with that rumor, and you know how that goes.
Yeah,
so
that's a hairy rabbit hole indeed.
Very much so. As we sit here today, I will be perfectly honest that to me it is relatively unthinkable that Arkansas has John Calipari as head coach and Kentucky does not.
Yeah.
If you had asked me 1 week ago about that possibility, about any chance of that happening, I would have laughed at you.
Yeah.
And that is even knowing how the thin ice was there that Calipari was skating on.
Yeah, I would have walked you over to the printer, handed you a piece of paper, and like, this is the directions to the nearest mental hospital. You should probably go get yourself checked out. That's what I'd tell you.
Stop it.
But
stop it.
A lot happens in a week, doesn't it?
A lot happens in a week. I did not know that Calipari was such good friends with the Tyson family.
I didn't know that either.
That's a lot of chicken feed. $7 million.
Yeah.
Now, it's not what he was being paid up front at Kentucky. There's a ton of bonuses written into the contract and the like. And let's be perfectly honest. John Calipari fell into the same problem that many do in Major League Baseball, in professional football. You sign what is a quote-unquote lifetime contract.
Yep.
And funny how things tend to decline quickly.
It's almost like contracts have limits on them for a reason, because sometimes things run their course in a 5 to 10, 15-year stretch.
I was reminded in listening to Calipari's comments yesterday about a new voice being needed. I was reminded of Marty Schottenheimer's old assessment that after 10 years, they get tired of hearing your voice in that locker room. Yes, it's not the same team the entire time. But at a point they get, and more importantly, in Calipari's case, the fan base got tired of it.
Fan base, donors, the monster that is Kentucky basketball.
It did, however, also remind me that it wasn't but a year ago that you had a little tete today between Calipari and Mark Stoops, where Calipari was very upset over the money and resources that were being put into football in terms of facilities and complaining about what the condition was of the basketball practice facility in comparison. That did not bode well for him, honestly.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Not with his boss. Lifetime contract or not, that was not a good look.
No, and I don't think I would disagree with what he was saying, but there's a way to go about this. That is when you go to your boss's office and you have that chat, not with a microphone in front of you. Especially if Correct. That's the first time you're going to bring it up. You can't just blindside your boss with stuff like that, whether you're right or not.
I will say this, though. Calipari is one of the most calculated people as it pertains to the media that I think I have ever come across.
Wow.
There is very little that gets past him when it comes to how he wants to operate and what the media knows about him and what it doesn't.
That's true. That is very true.
Now, for me, a real punchline to all of this would be if Rick Pitino took the job.
I was talking to my buddies about this yesterday or 2 days ago, and they're like, wow, Coach Cal, Arkansas, and they're talking through all the guys that might go to Kentucky, and they're like, wouldn't it be hilarious if it was Pitino? And I'm like, gosh darn it, that would be fantastic.
Everybody would just lose their dang minds. But I think that there would probably be a loss of the mind of Mitch Barnhart if he actually asked Rick Pitino to take the job, honestly.
Yeah.
That well was poisoned long ago.
Long ago.
Long ago. But amidst all of it, Scott Drew's name has become the name that has been bandied about. And Mitch brought up earlier in the show the fact that you had the shot of Scott Drew enjoying a meal at a restaurant in Waco where internet sleuths are trying to place the episode of Family Feud as not being to be aired in the Waco market today. They forgot the Game Show Network exists for a reason.
Yeah, that's just different level of, like, I mean, we get real into, especially in the off season, the NFL coaching carousel too. Like, we're tracking flights, we're doing all this, that, and the other. I'm like, these guys are checking TV program guides, trying to figure out if this episode of Family Feud would play in Waco. And, you know, props to the effort, but streaming services exist. And Game Show Network, I think you hit the nail on the head right there.
One of the best reactions actually did come on Twitter.
Ta-da! Look who it is!
Someone having fun with the Righteous Gemstones.
That is.
And what is it? Cousin Billy or whatever his name is? Yeah.
I can't remember. It's
just such a well-played character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, the point being, you know, that kind of...
Look who it is.
Look who it is. So you've got Chip Gaines talking smack with Kentucky fans. Scott Drew's the top name on the list. But what do the dominoes look like as this progresses? And my comment still holds true. How many established coaches are going to want the headache of taking over Kentucky at this point?
I don't know. I think you hit the nail on the head. And I didn't mention it in the first part when Mason was on because he couldn't hear me. I didn't want to add to the conversation. But I agree because Mitch brought it up. I don't know if I want to follow Calipari through Kentucky. Same thing with DeBoer and Saban. Now, again, Saban, the national championships, there's an extra level of success here and everything. But Kentucky has been a blue blood power school for 15 plus while he was there. I don't know, especially if I'm comfortable, you know, like if I'm trying to take it to the next level or if I can't get the job done where I'm at, maybe I risk it. But again, like you said, who wants to deal with the headache and the monster that Kentucky basketball has become on and off the court?
The flaw with all of it is that it's Kentucky. There's an expectation that they have to have a big name.
Big name, top four in the NCAA tournament, one top five pick, hopefully two top 10 guys in the long run. There is a lot of parameters that have to be hit for it to be considered a somewhat successful season.
That means that there are going to be all kinds of names that get floated over these next few days for that job, besides Scott Drew. Yes, we recognize Scott Drew is the target. Does he want that?
I don't know.
Rex Chapman has his autobiography out. And in it, he talks about at length the time he spent as a player at Kentucky and Eddie Sutton was the head coach, and how that pressure drove Eddie Sutton to drinking. We all are aware of Sutton's problems with alcohol over time. That job, because of it being Kentucky, it's the school of Adolf Rupp. That job is one of the most pressure-filled jobs in college athletics.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, I think of the comparison, I think of, like, you look at pictures before and after someone's president of the U.S. Like, you look at Barack Obama in 08 versus in 2016, and he looks 15 years older in those 8 years. And I think Kentucky is a job that ages people very easily.
Absolutely. The demands are above and beyond. We talk about KU in that same breath, and yet there's an added level to it with Kentucky.
Yeah, there is.
And I say this having friends who are Kentucky fans, and I've witnessed some of their fandom over the years.
Fandom.
And I get it. I understand, you know, that there's just an added intensity above and beyond with Kentucky. And that is not just the fan base. That is the boosters. You brought up the boosters being tired of Calipari. It's a great point. But you're also now looking at what may be the highest pressure job in all of college basketball in the NIL era. All of the things that we were talking about regarding Alabama opening up as the job at the end of the football season, you can say about the Kentucky job now in basketball. And I don't have a good feel, honestly, for what they're going to target. I realize that, you know, the fan base and the boosters probably have, yes, Scott Drew at the top of that list. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't know that that's necessarily where they want to go with their target. Nobody has gotten Mitch Barnhart to give a public indication of anything just yet.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, there's a rabbit hole of names that we could dig through. My main question to you before we have to move on is, if Scott Drew's the pick and he is the guy for Kentucky going forward, does it make you nervous at all for Tang next offseason that Baylor might come calling if whoever it is, or I guess maybe it wouldn't be next year.
It would be now.
It's going to get filled. Yeah.
It would be now.
Does that bring your sense of urgency? We talked, Mason and Mitch talked about that at length, the sense of urgency on that Friday afternoon. Does it re-spike for us now?
Cause oh, absolutely.
A rocky season, you know, he was an assistant at Baylor for 20 years?
18.
18 mm-hmm. years. That's a tough job to just, you know, flat and pass on, especially if you thought about Arkansas, which you have, to what we know, no ties to. So, I don't know. That part kind of scares me.
Yeah.
That part is where I'm at now. As a K-State fan, I'm a little nervous that Baylor comes calling if Scott Drew does take that Kentucky job. Hopefully that's not the case.
Right. Which means that we're all stuck in the waiting process. So watch Chip Gaines' Twitter feed and have some fun.
Yeah. Grab a magazine, take a seat. The doctor will see you in 10 minutes.
We wrap up this edition of The Game in a moment. Before we get to the questions, also again to note, if you're just joining us, Chiefs receiver Rashee Rice has had an arrest warrant posted against him in Dallas for that accident from a couple of weeks back. One count of aggravated assault, one of collision involving serious bodily injury, and six counts of collision involving injury are the charges that are pending against him. With that arrest warrant posted, we'll hopefully have more on all of that when we convene tomorrow morning.
Agreed.
With a sports update.
You ready for some Ask Us Anything a question here?
Let's have at it.
Well, it is well known Jackson Holliday makes his MLB debut tonight for the Orioles.
SportsCenter was just rolling with highlights from when he was a little kid at Coors Field.
At Coors Field?
Yeah, taking swings. I've seen that footage before. I'm used to it, but it is.
Something special, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
The word down the pipeline, Cal Ripken Jr. has officially given his blessing for Jackson Holliday to wear number 7, his dad's old number, Cal Ripken Sr.
Oh, wow.
In his debut. So, high anticipated stuff. Do you have a favorite baseball memory? Maybe it's a debut, a game, whether it's Rockies, Royals, or any of the sort that you can think of. You got about a minute.
Well, we mentioned yesterday, talked briefly about the memory of Eric Hosmer in 15 sliding and the Mets fans going nuts in the stands with the reaction of no and that type of thing. That will always rank there, but you've also similarly got the dive across home plate by, appropriately enough, Jackson Holliday's dad, Matt Holliday, against the Padres in a playoff game that boosted the Rockies as well. Padre fans argue he still hasn't touched home.
Of course. No one ever gives up on that stuff. You know how we are.
I'm fully aware Sir Parker still has not scored a touchdown against K-State in the Dome in St. Louis. I'm fully aware of this. So those are a couple right out of the box that do stick out. And there always will be the Vin Scully call of Bo Jackson at the All-Star game in Anaheim. Yeah. Bo Jackson says hello.
Never fails.
Was so beautiful.